answering of the questions, perhaps we should ask the CEO to take those that he is going to answer. I've been advised that perhaps we should take questions as they came, you know, questions from Honorable Mohammed. You want to take the first one and the second one? Or should I start? Yes. May I start with the question on the equality courts? It is true, Chairperson, that the quality courts have not been optimally utilized. And it's a matter that we have been discussing with the Department of Justice since 2017 when this commission came into office. Part of the problem, of course, is that the mechanism that was designed to look after this, the committee has not met for a long time. The commission is supposed to be a member thereof, but at some stage it didn't have a quorum because some of the members were had left, and the Department of Justice had to appoint new members, and it took a very long time. Eventually, when they were appointed, each time there was a meeting, they were not available to attend. Now, the Department of Justice last year was then saying that perhaps we need to revise the Equality Act itself because it's not happening. We mentioned that we do not have sufficient resources to publicize the Equality Court, but from history, when you look at the work that the Commission is doing, we've actually taken a lot of cases before the Equality Court to try and publicize the Equality Court. We engage the media to publicize what we are doing with regard to the Equality Court. We have not discussed this matter with the Chief Justice. Perhaps it's something that we may need to consider, but I'm afraid that he may throw us back to the Equality Review Committee, which is not functional at the time, as well as the Ministry of Justice. We have, since the new cabinet came into power, we wrote to the Minister of Justice requesting an audience with him, because these are some of the issues that we want to take up with him. Unfortunately, we have not yet had feedback as to whether it's possible to do that. But we are actually quite worried about the fact that the equality courts are not working optimally, in the sense that they are cheaper and less formal and quicker than the ordinary courts. Fadla will deal with the violence question. Yes, please.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Mohammed, we are acutely aware of the scourge and the increase in violence on the Cape Flats, and about already 8 years ago we had an initial inquiry into crime and human rights, and there were several recommendations that came from that, one of that also being the establishment of a focal area commissioner, which is now Commissioner Chris Nissen, that looked at civil and political rights. And because he is based in the Western Cape, he's done a lot of on-the-ground work with communities across the Cape Flats, as well as the Overberg and Boerland region. What we have noticed is that there is a spillover of criminal and gang activity into the Boerland area because the pressure is mounting, of course, on the Cape Flats. Some of the engagements included, I'm talking about from March, from the time that he joined office, March through to as recent as this week, going out into the communities, being part of the peace marches, searching for the very sad story of the young girl who was brutally raped and murdered by someone who lived in her house, and being part of the team that discovered the body. So very on-the-ground work with these communities, as well as engaging the mothers of the victims of crime. They've come to our office quite a few times. But it reached boiling point, I think it was in June this year, when it was the stats were released that 900 people in the Western Cape were killed as a result of gang-related activity. Also, following the release of the crime stats last year, there was quite a lot of publicity, and we expressed our concern as a Human Rights Commission. But the most recent 14 deaths over one weekend, which I think took place towards the end of July, I mean end of June, sorry, coming into July, motivated and provided impetus for us to sit around and, through the commissioners, of course, decide to convene a commission of inquiry into the human rights implications of violence on the Cape Flats and, of course, the associated regions such as the Overberg and Boerland. We anticipate that, resource permitting, of course, that will be scheduled towards the end of August. I stand corrected. And, that would, the purpose of that is really to document and experience the experiences firsthand of persons living in these regions, but also to understand what fuels the criminal activity, what the socioeconomic right impacts are, civil and political right implications are, and really bring in a human rights-based perspective, and of course engaging the relevant stakeholders such as the provincial and national government, and then of course the law enforcement agencies which are have been dispatched to quell the violence. So that is forthcoming. And of course, once that report is available, we will, as we always do, share our findings with the committee. But it's an ongoing project. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of funding opportunities with the private and public sector, we're doing quite a lot in this area. Our annual report will show that we have a number of MOUs where we work with, private and public sector. We have one with Safer South Africa Foundation on issues of crime prevention in schools. So they organize events in schools and then they invite the commission to give a talk in their sessions. We are busy finalizing an MOU with Kagiso Trust for research areas around issues of development. We work with a number of universities also in that regard. We get invited by universities, so that also helps us to do our promotional work without paying for it. And as I was saying, I mean, our partnership with the Department of Basic Education is definitely going to be a major one in all schools. We have given R1 million as a commission into that project to assist that. And we have also been funded by EU. So last year, for example, EU funded a study tour on OPCAT. This year, they're funding a study tour on disability. They're giving us something like 800,000 rands. And we're also taking a number of NGOs. Last year, we took JICS and IPED and Justice Department on our study tour so that we can also work together on that. So we're really pursuing a lot of partnerships. So I'll say, you know, in view of our financial constraints, we're now trying to work much more with other organizations. We have an MOU with Public Protector, for example. So there's a lot of that. I think our report will give more details on that. And then as far as the Lindela, the court order, we are monitoring Lindela as per that court order, but that will now be taken over by our OPCAT functions under the National Preventative Mechanism. I will talk to that later in response to a question asked later. And then under PAIA, the challenge with PAIA is that we are waiting for the President to bring into promulgation, to bring into operation the relevant sections of PAIA, which will then allow the information regulator to take over our PAIA activities. And for the last 3 years, we've been waiting. So every year, we are told this year and next year. And we only have one staff member. And so you can imagine the amount of work which has to be done in PAIA. It also creates labor relations for us because basically we sign off. So we have our staff member who's on contract. We have to keep on doing his contract because we'll never know when. We are in discussions with the information regulator about those issues, but also we're talking to them because there's also a requirement that we should assist them in the transition to take over PAIA. So they are just a floor below us, so we're talking with them. But really, it will be quite helpful for all of us if the president could, you know, bring this this particular section into operation, because now we're all in limbo on both sides. I know the information that you later advertised posts for someone to take over Paia. I don't know where they are at this point in time. So we're just waiting. It could be any time, and that's a challenge for us. We wish we could know in advance as to exactly when this will happen. But it's also affecting the work of the information regulator. So already at this point in time, we have one person, really, who's managing the entire act prior on contract. It's really not proper at all. Let me end here.
Chairperson, we were asked to give a list of the recommendations that we have made, which remain unattended to, and we're going to do that. We thank the Honourable Swart for the compliment. With regard to trafficking in persons, the Department of Justice has got a project on trafficking in persons, and we have started last year to plug into that and work with them. We had a seminar, a workshop with which Justice had organized, and Commissioner Magwetla is our person in that. It is a budding project for us, but we are building it up because it is a concern. In fact, I think yesterday there was a report in the media that there are many children in the border area in the Limpopo who may have come from other countries. They have no parent, they've got no one, and so on. And so it's not known whether they were trafficked and so on. And so it's an area that really needs our attention. The CEO will deal with Esidimeni as well as the question from Mr. Horn on the NPM. But Commissioner Gum will then deal with the vets medical student as well as the promotion of a culture of human rights.
On Esidimeni, the matter is now back with us because when we're in Geneva before the Committee Against Torture, the committee has already issued a draft concluding observations and has raised concerns about the slow pace around Marikana and Esidimeni, and that we, together with the government, have to get back to the committee as to what has been done. So we'll be looking to that and then advise the committee on that particular point. And then, as far as the issue of the NPM, we were given money by Treasury for this financial year, small amount of money, 1.6 million, to set up the NPM structure, which we are coordinating. Initially, the idea was that this will the NPM mechanism will constitute of bodies like JICS, Judicial Inspectorate of Correctional Services, IPED, Military Ombudsman, Health Ombudsman, those ones, with us coordinating and also, filling the gap. The challenge is that in terms of OPCAT, all those bodies have to be independent, and that's where we're stuck, that there are still questions about the independence of JICS. IPID hasn't got a mandate to monitor police cells. The military ombudsman hasn't got a mandate to monitor military prisons. So at this point in time, we will, as the commission, we will then be monitoring all police stations, the 1,040 of them. We have already an MOU with SAPS around these issues and in other issues. But we have a committee in the commission which involves all these bodies and as well as other NGOs to basically work towards setting up this mechanism properly. It might also require an amendment of our act or a separate act altogether, which might be called the South African National Preventive Mechanism Act, which will, you know, work with other colleagues with justice. So there's actually structures where we're working together with justice, correctional services, home affairs, everybody to look into this. So on the 20th of this month, we'll be launching the NPM with the Deputy Minister of Justice and other invited guests. And then we're also working with the NGO, AFCOP, what do you call it? African, which is also helping us to design monitoring tool. Now, because we have now ratified OPCAT, we are now members. We fall under the subcommittee on the prevention of torture, and therefore we follow their guidelines in terms of how we monitor. We've already began monitoring detention centers, the police. In the Human Rights Commission, in terms of our APPs, we also require all our provincial officers to monitor police cells, and we also will be working with JICS. So ultimately, what we hope to do is to help the other bodies, if there is willingness, to become fully independent, and then they monitor their relevant areas. And we're following the New Zealand model, where the Human Rights Commission is coordinating. Then you have other statutory bodies which are responsible for the areas like the military ombudsman for the army, IPED for the police, JICS for correctional service, so that we basically share the work and then report together. And we're hoping that that will work if there is political support for that. If it doesn't work, then we'll continue as a commission, but with the support of IPED, JICS, and whatever at a lower level, but not as an NP, but as a supporting structure to the NPM. We're using Section 181 of the Constitution, which says that all other organs of state must support the work of the Human Rights Commission. So that's how, basically, we'll do it. At a later stage, we'll actually present the whole model to the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to the questions of Honourable Mohammed. I just wanted to start saying that as far as the binding nature of our findings are concerned, following the EFF judgment in the matter involving Kandla, the Commission has studied and interpreted that judgment to also be applicable to the Commission. There are various reasons that I can indicate why that is the case, but inter alia the court indicated that when public resources are utilized, then one cannot have a situation where the government department or whoever the case may be can decide whether or not to implement those particular findings. Also, in terms of the wording that is used in the case of the public protector, the constitutional wording is remedial action. In our case, it is taking steps to secure redress, and in explaining remedial action in that case, what it means, the court also uses the same kind of wording, taking steps to secure redress and so on. So if you analyze that particular case, then it's clearly also applicable to the South African Human Rights Commission, and as has been decided in that particular case, all our findings wouldn't be binding. It would depend on the circumstance of each particular case, and so there, in some instances we would still issue recommendations, in other instances we are now issuing directives. Which brings me also to the point to say that as far as the equality courts are concerned, the Human Rights Commission can actually play an important supplementary kind of role there as well. But therefore, we've requested our secretariat, our top management, to have a look at the possible sanctions that can follow from a finding, for example, of hate speech, because it doesn't really help that we find that someone is, for example, guilty of hate speech, but then say, please don't do it, or don't do it again, and you have to apologize, and that is the be-all and end-all of the sanctions. So we are looking into those aspects as well. Then just to come back to the point that Fatla Adams answered, this, I just wanted to add and say that the Western Cape systemic violence investigation will also include violence in schools, and I'm working closely with Commissioner Nissen in that regard as well in the Western Cape. Then, Honourable Swart, yes, I think that this committee can play a very important role, Chairperson, where there is non-compliance with remedial action or then directives or even recommendations of the Commission, and I think we should explore that. And this committee also, in collaboration with other committees, can play an important role, because many of our reports, let's say it concerns the right to a basic education. It is tabled here, but it's not always clear whether it reaches the relevant committee, in this case the Basic Education Committee. So I think we should really work together and see how we can, this particular Justice Committee can be much more effective also in terms of assisting us that it comes to the attention of the other relevant portfolio committees dealing with a specific area. But also in terms of the implementation of our directives, I think it can play a crucial role. Honourable Horn, through you, Honourable Chairperson, when we receive a complaint, I'm referring now to the WITS matter, the medical student, then that complaint is assessed. And if there are indications or prima facie indications of human rights violations, then obviously it falls within our mandate. And I don't think the university can say that it does not. All human rights violations would fall under the mandate of the South African Human Rights Commission, but obviously we will first assess it, see whether there's prima facie indication of human rights violations, and then investigate it. But when there are other investigations, internal investigations ongoing at a particular institution, for example, then we might allow that, depending on the circumstances, to first be concluded, and then we'll see, what intervention we can make. Then, as far as your remarks are concerned, through your chair, Honourable Horn, concerning the Malema matter, when that report was presented, maybe I should first say that I want everyone to know that we were quite careful also as far as that particular matter is concerned. There was an initial feedback from provinces, because there were a number of complaints in different provinces concerning the same matter. The Commission wasn't necessarily very happy with the feedback and the fact that the matter wasn't concluded as soon as it should have been. Then we got an internal legal opinion on the matter. When that internal legal opinion came, we were still not completely satisfied, and through the good intervention of the chair, we actually got a legal opinion then of senior counsel, one of the most prominent senior counsel, I can say, in South Africa, who also then agreed with the internal legal opinion. But I think what you're saying is it goes further than only the legal side of things, and the fact that we need to also promote a culture of human rights. When that report was released, our chairperson made it very clear during that media briefing that we regarded the remarks as unacceptable. It wasn't a hate speech, didn't go that far, but it's unacceptable, and I think he also referred to social cohesion and so on in that regard. What I do agree with is that when we receive a complaint and we have to make a specific finding on a human rights violation, hate speech in particular, then we might need to go further in future and also then make remarks that clearly deals with the impact of that kind of statement or potential impact on a culture of human rights in the country, and I think we take that going forward. Then, just quickly in response to Honourable Newart Bruchen and her questions, the Human Rights Commission has instituted a probe into special schools and the conditions in special schools. We are still continuing with that investigation. I'm responsible for the right to education, but I'm working very closely with Commissioner Malachi. Responsibility is disability, as well as Commissioner Makwetla, who is responsible for children's rights, and we're having a joint effort in terms of investigating that in particular. And to answer your question, no, we are most definitely not only looking into matters concerning public schools, but also as far as private schools are concerned. For example, if there would be unfair discrimination or disability matters concerning private schools, we would most definitely look into that and investigate that. Just lastly, the matter of protest action was also mentioned. There is a report of the South African Human Rights Commission pertaining to the impact of protest action on the right to a basic education. We did engage the department or the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education on that and our recommendations and directives there. And they have also, from their side, engaged the department then. And that is also, where the relationship between the Commission and Committees Parliament becomes important, because we are reporting to Parliament, in this case, through the Justice Education Committee. But the relevant departments, whether it's basic education or health or whoever, are also reporting to Parliament. And I think that is where the liaison and the interaction can be much improved, because you can hold the department, you also can hold the department accountable whilst we report to you. And I think that synergy we need to find in some other manner. So cannot really now, Honourable Nivo Druchen, give a detailed indication of what's going on in every focus area. We will answer that in writing. But what I can say, and I just want to reiterate what the CEO also mentioned again, and that is one of our very important interventions as far as also creating a culture of human rights concerns two things. We've worked very closely with the Department of Basic Education for curriculum reform. And what is happening at the moment, it is almost concluded as a result of this cooperation between the Human Rights Commission and the Department of Basic Education, is that all the life orientation textbooks from grade 4 to grade 12 have been rewritten. And it now also inculcates, and Commissioner Mirme has also played an important role before the new commission started, it now also encapsulates a part that specifically deals with human rights, and all the content is based on a human rights angle as far as that is concerned. And I think the launch will take place next year of these new textbooks and so on, and I think that's a major intervention. The second one is the school moot court competition has been run in collaboration with the Department of Basic Education, Department of Justice, and the Human Rights Commission. Now we are mainly responsible for it, still collaborating with these departments for the very first time. And we see the school moot court competition as a very important vehicle also to have children and school children, learners, who would deal with a specific human rights question and debate it from both sides. But even more important in a sense than that is that for the very first time ever this year, all the grade 10s will write a compulsory essay as part of their compulsory English curriculum on the moot court question, debating the question, and that would be the case every single year, debating the human rights moot court question from both sides in an essay. And I think this is quite an intervention on the promotional side of things, Honourable Muhammad. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. I'd like just to let the CEO answer the remaining questions, and then I will also conclude with answering some.
Can we appeal to the CEO to be as brief as possible?
Yes, thank you, Honourable Chair. Just on the issue of disability, I just want to make the committee aware that the Human Rights Commission has been dealing with issues of disabilities for the last 14 years plus. We had Commissioner Nkedi, who was here, followed by Commissioner Malachi, who's been here for service another term. We also played a major role in the drafting of the convention itself, where the commissioner was actually part of the drafting team, Commissioner Charlotte McLean. But now we've realized that, you know, we need to up the game a little bit. That's why now we approach the EU to fund this study so that we can probably now consider setting up a proper monitoring unit in the Commission focusing on issues of disability to address a whole lot of issues, including, of course, using modern technology in terms of ICT to enhance that, as well as, you know, addressing both private and public sector issues. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, the question from Honourable Nicole Drucken on the focus areas of each commissioner. Perhaps because there are eight commissioners, it's going to be a very long narrative. Perhaps we should send that in writing if you give us that indulgence. And I will also certainly provide a copy of my remarks to the secretariat so that she deals. She gets it from the secretariat. The Honourable Masego Jele emphasised the issue of the budget constraints. We really do think that it is a very serious problem for us. One of the questions, for example, asked is, what have we done to make sure that government officials understand better the Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities and so on? Resources determine to us how much we can do and what we can do. There was a question on how we work with SAPS to reduce torture. We are just starting. We have an MOU, but beyond that, we are still talking. We are still trying to get comfortable about what position does so and so do. Commissioner Nissen was in Hudemuth prison, was in the prison in PE, and had to call me because, you know, there are those sensitivities that need to be ironed out, and so it's going to take us a little bit of time to settle who does what and so on. On the other hand, as the CEO said, we are concerned that a lot of money in the Department of subs. A lot of money in health goes to damages, you know, the inordinate amounts of money that could have gone to building houses or providing people with schools or water or clinics that get paid into civil damages. And we think that if we can get it right there to reduce the abuse of people's rights in police stations, in correctional services, in health facilities, that then perhaps we would have a resources to reach a bigger number of South Africans whose rights remain unattended to. We are, two matters very briefly, Chairperson. We are involved in Alexandra, Alexandra is a typical case that shows that there has to be constant monitoring of what is happening in order to promote the rights of people. But whatever recommendation we're going to come with, the enforcement thereof would depend on the kind of relationship that we have with the portfolio committee and the executive and the portfolio committees to whom they report, so that whatever is not in contention can then be dealt with, implemented, and so on, and people get the relief that they need. Finally, Chairperson, I just wish to say that in October next year, the South African Human Rights Commission will be 25 years old, and we intend to mark the date in some way. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Professor Majola, and to the Commission. We are in a process of drafting a comprehensive program as the committee. Issues that you have raised where you need our support would be part of that comprehensive program of the committee to assist institutions and entities that report to us. One of the areas that we think that in this sixth administration we are going to also be paying a special attention to is the matter raised by Honorable Swart with regards to what we referred to as the Carter Asmal report. It has been outstanding for more than two terms. It would be important that that matter is finalized, because it will talk to the type of the new structures we would have and the powers that they would really have. So I think we will be taking up that matter with Parliament also, because the legislation that you proposed, to the legislative proposals that you think that need to be passed to amend certain parts of your legislation would need to take that into consideration, so that we don't duplicate work where you find that we have these amendments after a few months or after a year, then there is an overhaul of the system, if there will be an overhaul of the system, that we need a holistic intervention in as far as this matter is concerned. We would also be keeping an eye, especially on the relationship between yourselves and the information regulator, and the legislation that needs to move over to the information regulator, because it would be important that that process is speeded up, so that the information regulator can also start being operational. It's also a very important structure. So, as part of our program of action, it will be to assist Human Rights Commission and the Information Regulator to ensure that movement from the Human Rights Commission to the Information Regulator of the Act it's finalized. We have taken note of most of your proposals, especially the proposals of ensuring that the recommendations that you submit to us, which affect other committees who must have a process of interacting with those committees so that Parliament can give effect to some of those recommendations. So we would also be taking up that matter. But other matters that you have raised and the ones that and the detailed response that you are going to give us, we are going to ensure that they are part of that program of action, because one of the focus that we will be focusing on this sixth administration is effective oversight of all our entities, and that would mean that we would meet with our entities not only during APPs and annual reports. So we would have a robust engagement with the committees. Sometimes it may be through our subcommittee that we would establish to ensure that as we deal with legislation, but oversight work continues through our oversight committee of our oversight committees, so that we don't have a situation where we just focus on legislation and we don't do oversight work properly. But most of the issues that we have raised, the subcommittee would make a follow-up on all of those issues. Thank you very much for giving us the detailed report and indicate that we are very supportive of the work that you do under very difficult circumstances. All committees have a challenge of budget because the country is, we have more than 2 trillion budget debt. So all departments, all entities, all commissions, they are being forced to take a cut. So under these different difficult conditions, we are really appealing to our committees that as much as we would really fight and advocate for the cut not to be steep, but I think it's time that we should also be extremely innovative. We should explore collaborations, as it was indicated by members, that we should explore collaborations so that we can lower the cost of doing business whilst we get better results. I think these budget cuts will be with us for some time until the economy recovers. But we are very supportive of the work that you do. Thank you very much, members of the commission, and to the members of the committee. We wish you a safe journey. The meeting is adjourned. Members of the committee, you remember that we are supposed to have received a legal opinion yesterday about the Advocate Jiba and Mukhoibe matter. We will be joined by the members of the legal services, and the members of the NCOP are also coming at 1, so that we can have that joint briefing by Parliament's legal services on the process that we need to follow. I'm also advised that there is lunch outside or at the back, so the lunch is ready, especially to our guests. So at 1 o'clock, can we reconvene here? Thank you.